news. But if we will make the choice to look to Him, to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, to set our eyes and our hearts on Him, you know, when we see Him, we see life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if we are to decree and to speak life, we need to see life. So I challenge you to take more time, and that's what we're talking about today, is setting our eyes on our Redeemer, looking unto Him. Looking unto Him. I didn't know till last night. Well, that may not be true. Let me start over. I guess it's been a little over a month ago that God began to speak to me about teaching on prayer and specifically intercession. And I was anxious in the beginning. I wanted to jump right in, and God said, take some time. And I just sort of sensed in my spirit that the 1st of April is when I would begin. And then this corona mess happened, and things changed, and assemblies changed, and the delivery of the messages changed. And I thought, well, maybe I misheard. And so I sort of second-guessed. And last night, I think it was about 10 o'clock, I asked Pastor Richard, who's ministering tomorrow? He said, I don't know yet. And I heard in my spirit, you are. And I was, I beg your pardon. And he said, I told you when. And I said, yeah, God, but, you know, Corona. And he said, I knew that was going to happen when I told you that date. I was not surprised, and nothing has changed. And so I am trusting God because, you know, normally I would spend the day before in prayer and study, but every day has been a day of prayer and study for me since we've been working from home. And so I just trust God that I am ready. There's a lot that He's deposited in my spirit about this. And I want to challenge you to really pay close attention today to what's being said, to not hear anything but a challenge and an inspiration to go further. Go further. Don't let the enemy put any frustration within you or any concern. And I want to speak for a moment to our body, but I believe it's going to apply to many people. I remember several years ago, we had some ministers in the house by the name of Brother Roy and Joy Craig. And she was talking about the fabulous teaching that went forth from this house and all the wonderful things about it and how fabulous Pastor Jim and Sister Lou are. And she said, God, why does nobody know? Why is the church this small? And he said, number one, you can't really see the size of it because of the impact that it's had throughout the nations over decades. But he said, also, it's hidden. I've hidden it away for a time. And I saw this last night. There is a young lady out of Australia. Her name is Lana Valzer. I don't know personally anything about her, but as I've been following her for over a year now, the things that she has said have witnessed with my spirit. She considers herself a prophet and shares much of the heart of God with His people. And I, having known that God has hidden us away for a time, I just want to read this to you, and I want you to ponder it. You can find her on Facebook, or if you want to message me, I can send you a link, get this word to you, but I'm going to try to just hit the high points because it's pretty wordy. But she just posted this. It was sometime around midnight, a little after midnight, and she said, over the past few weeks, I've had some of the deepest encounters with the Lord that I've ever had, and one of these encounters, I saw the heart of the Lord for the hidden ones, those who have been hidden in the secret place with the Lord. And the Lord has had them in a place of separation and consecration for a long time. They have been in a place of knowing and encountering the heart of God in deep ways, and they've been trained and taught by the Holy Spirit. They are the ones who have been hidden with God, and they have not been known by man in great ways, but they are known by God. And in this encounter that I had with the Lord, I heard His voice so loudly over them. And He said, it is time to come out. it is time to come out. And I began to see thousands upon thousands upon thousands of these hidden ones being called out of the caves of the hiddenness all across the earth. And what struck me was what was in their hands. They held lamps in their hands, and they were full of oil, and they were burning brightly. And I heard the Lord again say, "Faithful ones, faithful ones." And the sense surrounded me so strongly of these that have been stewarding faithfully in the hidden place. They've been ministering to the Lord in deep ways. They've embraced the fire of His presence. They've been living in a deep, beautiful brokenness before the Lord, and their offerings to the Lord so deep, so pure. They do not offer the Lord that which has cost them nothing. There is a sound being released from the heart of the Father that is the call to position for the hidden ones. And I heard it so loudly that they're being called out of the caves and out of the hiddenness, and they're hearing the sound of His trumpet going forth, and they're taking their place, and they're ready for what the Lord was about to do. And she talks more about their eyes being open, their ears hearing, and their eyes were burning with fire as they were hearing what the Spirit was saying. And they recognized the sound being released and the call upon them that it was time to take their place. And I also noticed that they had clocks in one of their hands. And the Lord spoke, they recognize the time and the season. And I began to see them coming out of these caves, and they formed a line side by side, shoulder to shoulder with one another. And they took their position with the army of God that was forming across the earth. And these hidden ones joined in the front lines of this army, and I heard the word spearhead. And the scene I was seeing reminded me of the movie Braveheart with Mel Gibson. These were hidden warriors that were joining the front lines of the army to spearhead the next move of God upon the earth. It's not coming. It's happening now. The army is forming right now. The hidden ones are coming out from all different places of the earth and unexpected places, and some of the most unexpected ones, not known by man, but known by God. And I heard the Lord say, my church looks a lot different to what people have expected, doesn't it? We are in the moment of the greatest reformation of the church that we have ever seen. The hidden ones are being called out to take their place. There is a reset and a reshaping and a rearranging that God is doing right now. And the church is going to look a lot different coming out of this time. These people that are coming out are the faithful that are spearheading this move. Those who have been hidden come out of hiddenness, but there was one similarity in both. And I want you to note this, that the similarity in these was their faithfulness to God and their humility. God has been speaking to me continually about humility. Humility before Him, willingness to humble yourself before Him. These are the ones who are going to recognize the hour that we're in and respond to the alarm being sounded and spearhead the next move of God. Their lamps are full, they're overflowing with oil, and they are ready. And the church is about to look a whole lot different. Amen. Is that witness with your spirit? Things that God has been saying to us, to the church, to us individually for a while now. I knew before the turn going into 2020 that things were going to be different, that we're not just coming into a new year or a new season. It's a new decade. It's a new era, and things are very different. Some of you may have seen a word given back in 1986 by David Wilkerson. And he talked about a plague and a plague that was coming that would close the bars and the governments and the restaurants and would shut down the cities, and that there would be a call from the pulpits for repentance. And then the third great awakening would come. So there is a point and a purpose to all of this. And I can remember in years past hearing words that there would be times of darkness in the earth, and yet for the believers it would be a time of light and rejoicing, and you would look and you might see devastation in parts of the earth, but those who would call on the Lord would walk in the light and the joy. And I always wondered, what would that look like? What would that look like? And I know that there is suffering and there is darkness and there are things that are going on in the earth that we need to cover in prayer, where we need to speak life. But the people of God are okay. We're blessed. We're taken care of. I don't know if you can tell, but I have not gone without a meal. Maybe had a little too much. Because the blessings of the Lord, not because of me, not anything that I have done, but His goodness is keeping us in this time. And though there is darkness, is Isaiah 60 or 61, it talks about the darkness would cover the earth, the face of the earth, but upon you the glory would rise. And you would arise and shine, for your light has come. This is our time to shine. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to jump into my notes. I've got a lot of pages because I made the font really big. So if you happen to notice this 13 or 14 pages up here, don't worry. It's not going to be that long. As I was seeking the Lord, it's been about a month ago, maybe a little over a month, I was praying and just seeking the Lord for some things, and I heard Him tell me, you need to teach on intercession. And I had actually just been praying and covering some things at that moment, and God said, you're going to need to teach this because it's not in a lot of churches these days. There are not a lot of people who remember sitting on the floor watching their moms, watching the older ladies of the church interceding and thinking, wow, that's cool. What's going on? We haven't seen it a lot through the generations, but God is raising it back up. If you look around, it's interesting to see the number of ministers who have begun again to share and minister on prayer and intercession. It is a necessity for this time. And today I'm just going to lay a little bit of a foundation. So I hope you're watching and that you will hear my heart when I talk about these things. There are different kinds of intercession, and we'll get into those, but the subject of prayer and coming before the Lord is a very timely subject right now for what God is doing. He talks about, in this word, the hidden ones coming out. It's been a time to be sequestered away with the Lord. Some people are busier, I understand. Some people are less busy. We have a lot of people that have a little more time on their hands right now, and you've said, what do I do with this time? Trust me, the list is long, and it gets longer the more you think about it. But I want to challenge you to make your number one priority spending time with Him so that when God says go, you're ready to run. Amen? You've got your oil. You've got your clock. You understand the time and the season, and you know your Father, and you are ready. He wants to use us, and the way He wants to use us can't take place unless we spend time with Him. If you can't hear Him, He can't use you. Okay? I need you to think about that. If you can't hear God, He can't use you. Because it's going to be spur of the moment. It's going to be standing 6 feet apart from that lady at the grocery store who's full of fear, and He says, tell her it's going to be okay. And you're, who was that? What was that? Who said that? If you can't hear Him, He can't use you. If you don't know His voice, He can't move you. If you can't discipline yourself to spend time with Him, He can't put you in the right place and time for His glory. This is paramount right now because it's training. When we come into His presence, there's joy that's released, there's peace that's released, there are a lot of things that happen, but one of the most important things that happens is to learn to hear and know His voice. And you got to let everything else fall away. It's got to get so quiet that you feel like you can't hear anything, and then all of a sudden, that small, still voice rises up from the inside of you. We've got to learn to spend that time with Him. I'm reminded when Jesus asked his disciples when they went to pray, and he said, "Tarry here with me." And he went a little further to pray, and when he came back, they were asleep. And he said, "Could you not tarry 1 hour? Can you not spend just a little bit of time waiting with me?" And he said, "Truly the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And that's what this is about, is putting the flesh out of the way so that it's not yelling and demanding, because it will. It will want busyness. It will want comfort. It will want chocolate. It will want food. It will remember so many things that need to be done when you decide that you're going to pray. But we have to choose that we are spirit beings and be about spirit business, to hear his voice and tell the flesh, when the spirit takes care of business, then you'll come into line and into order and you'll be taken care of. But this first, amen. There's a funny story that I remember Keith Moore telling about prayer and people that try to press into prayer and they want to pray. And he said, "Can you imagine if a husband walked in and said, 'Man, I spent 30 minutes with my wife this morning. I talked to her for 30 minutes. Or if the wife came in and said, "I spent 2 hours with my husband yesterday, 2 whole hours. We might think that there's a problem there, if that was an accomplishment. Now, there are some marriages that they need some help, and that would be a big deal. But for the most part, we think about spending time with the people that we love, and it goes by so fast. Oh, we had such a good time with the girls last night. We spent a couple of hours. We did this. We did that. Spending time with the Father, it is not a chore. It is not a drudgery. It is not a hard thing to do if you will understand that when you go before him, when you determine to do so, you are in his presence. It may not feel like it, but he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So it is not a hard thing once you tell the flesh to shut up and realize that it is spirit communing with spirit. Amen. So we're going to start off with the foundation this morning. A lot of you may already know this. It may be review, but for the sake of everybody else watching and listening, we're going to go through this. And I actually had somebody ask me this within the last week. Why pray? Why do we pray? Why should we pray? If God is sovereign, then why pray? If God is in control, then why pray? So we're going to talk about that just a little bit, in starting with Genesis chapter 1. If you look in verse 26, and this is from the Amplified Classic, but Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and we're going to address the question, why should we even pray? In verse 26, God said, "Let us make mankind in our image after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts, and over all the earth and everything that creeps upon it." And then you skip down to verse 28, and God blessed them, the man that he created, and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, using all of its vast resources in the service of God and man, and have dominion." And then if we look in Psalms chapter 8, verses 4 through 6, it says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him but a little lower than God." Now there are some translations that say angels, but if you look at that word in the Hebrew, it's Elohim, which is the name of God, the word for God. So I think the early translators just had a little trouble with thinking that we could have been created in that high of an estate. But that's what it says in the original text. You've made him but a little lower than God, and you've crowned him with glory and honor, and you made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. So this was the original intent, the original way that God created the earth. It was not intended to be run outside of God. There was a direct connection between God and his man. And earth was to be run in the same way that heaven was. And sometimes I think of it fondly as if you as a parent bought, remember those huge things of Lincoln Logs? Anybody remember Lincoln Logs? I think they still make them out of plastic now, I think. It's kind of sad. But anyway, and you would buy this for your child just to see what they would make. What are they going to come up with? You know, and some of them would pull the instructions out and they would build these huge towers, and some of them would just like stand them up so they could knock them over. They did all kinds of things with them. But I feel like God just wanted to see. He put all of these things in the earth, and he wanted to see what we'd do with it. And he's fascinated by our creativity as he flows through us. And that was originally how it was. That was how he created it. And he gave us dominion. And when God gives something, he says in Romans 11:29, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He doesn't withdraw them once they're given. He doesn't change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. So he put them in charge, and he does not take back what he has given. Now, that's an encouragement to some of you who have a call on your life, and you've run from it, and you've said, well, I'm not interested, and now you're sitting comfortably in the couch saying, well, you know, it's too late. The time is over. No. The calling is still there. The anointing is still there. The only thing that's lacking is your answer. But back to the notes. So God put man in charge of the earth, and he will not take that back. Now, I think it might be helpful for us to understand the difference between ownership and rulership, okay? God owns the earth. He created it. It is his. If you will, he has leased it to man. He gave it a time stamp. He said, from here to here, and then I will create a new heaven and a new earth. But in the meantime, from here to here, it's yours to do with as you will. And so he owns the earth, but he put someone else in charge of it. That's not an uncommon thing for us. We understand that with properties. There are terms, and you can do this, 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 and this, and it's yours. If you want to trash it, you can trash it. But at a certain point, I will take it back. So God owns the earth, but he's given it to us to rule it for a period of time and given us charge of the earth. We talked about when God created man, there was that connection between God and man. Man was clothed in light with the glory. He was spirit-led and in communication with God daily. But when man sinned, when he submitted authority to another, instead of obeying the word of God and listening to what God said, he submitted to the authority of the serpent in the garden. And when he did that, it broke the connection, because he, instead of being submitted to God, now had submitted the rule that he had been given to the enemy. So that connection was broken. The earth was subjected to a curse, and the enemy was given free reign in the earth. But thankfully, that's not the end of the story. But because he had given earth to a man, it required a man to come and redeem it. And that's why when you read about Jesus, our Redeemer, in the New Testament, he called himself the Son of Man. And in so doing, was decreeing his right in the earth to change what had been messed up. You remember every time the enemy would address him, the demons would address him, they would say, Son of God, Son of God. They were trying to say, you don't really have a right here. And he said, oh, you don't, you're overlooking the facts. You're trying to twist it just like he always does. I am the Son of Man, born of Mary. And so he came to restore that connection, and he defeated the enemy. But the way that we function in that is not automatic. It's just like after, was it World War II, where the islands, somewhere, I'm sorry, I'm not a history major, but I know that the winner had been declared and the papers had been signed and there was the truce and everything, and yet when they would come onto some of these remote islands, our guys would still take fire because they didn't know that they had been defeated yet, and so that defeat had to be enforced. Okay, some of you are still taking fire. The enemy is still messing with you because he is not just going to lay down. And he has been defeated, but we have to enforce that defeat. So Jesus brought that connection back, but it is not automatic. Now, we often hear people say, well, God is in control. God is in control. In the situations that you have put him in charge of and in control of and submitted to him, yes, but by and large over the earth, no. Why do bad things happen in the earth? How could a good God let these things happen? Well, if you read the manual, you understand that he gave you charge. That's why it's so important, the word that Brother Damon shared this morning, gave us this morning prophetically by the Spirit, speak life. Speak life, because it has to come through your mouth. It is bursting from the heart of God. Life, life, life in the earth. But it has to come through a man. It has to be spoken through a man. So that is why we have to learn about prayer. Because we are bringing back what God originally intended in the earth. There are also those who say that God is sovereign and he can do anything he wants at any time. But we understand that he's only sovereign until his word touches the situation. He said, I placed my word above my name. My word will be accomplished. So if he has said it, then that's what he is tied to. And he said, you're in charge. You're in charge. And the sovereignty of his word on that means you got to speak up. You've got to take and do your part. Amen? Amen. So, just a little bit of recap. God, by his word, put man in charge. God will not come into the earth and do his own thing. What he does in the earth, he does through submitted men and women and their decree of God's will. If God's will is not being accomplished, it's because men have not taken it up to pray and decree into the earth. John Wesley said, God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. He also said, it seems God is limited by our prayer life, that he can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. Have you ever considered that? God's will requires our cooperation through obedience, through prayer, praise, and declaration. So we pray because divine intervention must be consciously sought in order to lawfully operate in the earth and in our lives. Divine intervention must be consciously sought. It is not automatic. Now, there are a lot of different kinds of prayer mentioned in the Word of God. Prayer of faith, petition, supplication, consecration, agreement. We'll go into some of those. And then, of course, intercession. And we'll talk more about those. But I say that because if one prayer would take care of everything, then why have many? You know, there are a lot of people these days that just want to pray the prayer of faith. That's all they want to do is take somebody's hand. We agree, life in the earth, I decree it. And then they're done, and they walk away from it. But what about supplication? What about petition? What about intercession? What about some of these other things, other ways of prayer? There are a lot of different ways that God has instructed us in his word to take care of these things. So I want to look at just a little bit of it and hope to expand our understanding of how we operate in this, because we are people of faith and we do decree his word in the earth. We are kings in the earth, and when we decree those things, they are established. But I want you to look at some scripture where we were instructed to ask God. In Psalms chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, ask of me. I'm going to go through a lot of scripture. You're welcome to turn to it, or if you want to jot it down, note it on your device and look at it later. I'm not asking you not to read the scripture. Check me out. Make sure I don't miss it, but I'm going to go through them kind of fast. Psalms chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth as your possession." When was the last time you asked for the nations? God, give us the nations for you. Let us see your glory in the nations. Let us see you shining radiant in every continent in the earth. In James chapter 4, he says, starting in verse 2, he says, "You desire, but you don't have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight." These are the works of the flesh. But he says, "You do not have because you do not ask God." You've not come into that place in the Spirit where you've come before him and said, "This is needful. These are things that I need." And then he says later, "You don't have because you ask with wrong motives." So we ask, but then we're going to see in a few minutes how to ask. In James chapter 1 and verse 5, we're familiar with this. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of the giving God, who gives to everyone liberally and ungrudgingly, without reproaching or fault-finding, and it will be given to him." Now, I am of the belief that once you have asked God for it, then you can begin to thank him and praise him that you have it. I don't believe we have to come to him every day and say, "Please give me wisdom today," and then it evaporates tomorrow and we have to start over. But there is a place where you humble yourself and you say, "God, I just don't know what to do." Like the song we sang, "God, I look to you. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom." And he will. And he walks you through that situation. And then in a couple of weeks, there may be a new one. And you're like, "Woo. You know, we came through that really good, God. But this one, I know some things about it, but I need to know how to use what I know. So for this situation, God, give me wisdom." And then if I wake up tomorrow and I don't feel any wiser, but God, you said you give it. So I thank you that you've given it. Thank you that you've given us the nations. When we have asked, then we thank him. We don't have to ask anew every day. But there is a place to humble ourselves and ask. And then I love this in 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 14. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything or make any request according to his will, in agreement with his own plan, that he hears us. And if he hears us, then we know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have the requests we make of him." When we ask according to his will. Now, what does that require? We have to know what his will is. And we find that in his word. And so we know that if I start praying and asking God to curse somebody and make them sick because they made me mad, he's not listening. Don't worry about it. People that are not praying over you correctly, people that are praying those woeful prayers, "In her hard times, God be with her. Lord, I know she's sad, and I know she's crying, and I know you're going to help her through." That's not according to his will, so he's not listening. So don't worry about those prayers. But when we pray according to his will, we ask, and he answers. John 16, starting in verse 23, Jesus said, "In that day," talking about these days, "you're not going to need to ask me about anything, but whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." When you ask the Father in my name, when he says in my name, that's not just a prepositional phrase that we stick on everything that we say. And, you know, "We're going to have a good day tomorrow in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And I'm just praying in the name of Jesus." And it doesn't even have meaning for many people anymore. And what it means is, as his representative, in his stead, something that he would have asked for were he in this situation. It's similar to in the name of the law, the authority that backs me in what I'm doing. In that representation, I pray in the name of Jesus when we say that. Matthew 7, chapter 7 starts in verse 7. Ask and it will be given you. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking reverently and the door will open to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks the door will be opened. He's talking here about perseverance in pressing in to the things that you need, that you desire. Pressing in prayer to those things. John chapter 15, starting in verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it will be done. If you are living and drawing your sustenance and rooted and grounded in me, and my words are dwelling in you, you meditate, you take them in, you pursue them, you read them, then ask what you will and it'll be done. And then he talks in Matthew chapter 18 about agreement. If two of you agree, harmonize together, when you agree together, we will do it. God will grant it. And you know, it didn't say that we had to be physically close together. We could be 6 feet apart and still agree. I could be on my couch on my phone and you could be on your couch on your phone, but if we're agreeing, then God is working, agreeing together on those things. So there is a place where we need to ask, where we need to ask the Lord. And then we know, we discussed as kings and priests, we declare God's will in the earth. We have declaration. Mark 11:23 says, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed. It didn't say ask God to remove the mountain, okay? Whoever says to this mountain. And then Mark chapter 4, verse 39, Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was immediately a great calm. You know, Jesus said, you will do the things that I did. So I can appreciate loving a God who could speak to the wind and it would be still, who could calm the storm. But understand, we need to be next level living where we are the one speaking to the storm, just as our Redeemer did, saying, peace, be still, speaking life. That is our requirement to do it. He cursed the fig tree in Mark 11:14. He cursed it and it died. In John chapter 5, he spoke to the man who couldn't walk and told him to take up your bed and walk. He didn't ask God to heal him. He didn't say, oh God, if it be thy will, because he knew the will of the Father already. And so he spoke and he decreed these things. In John 14, chapter 12, he says, I assure you, if anyone steadfastly, this is Jesus, believes in me, he will be able to do the things that I do and even greater things because I go to the Father. So what he did, we do. He spoke to things. He decreed things into the earth, and we should not neglect the authority that we have to do so. And I'm just going through some ways that we can structure our prayer life. When we come before the Father, I love to come with praise, just to give thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Rejoice in his goodness. And then if you have things to ask, that's a good time to ask. And then as the anointing rises up in you, you begin to decree as he shows you things. We know that we are instructed to pray. There are so many verses. I don't even know if I'm going to go through all of them, but Ephesians 6:18 is going to be one that we will revisit quite a bit whenever I speak more on this subject. Praying always, always. How much of your day is that? All. I remember, was it Terry Mize used to talk about what all means? I looked it up in the Greek, and it means all. Praying always. A-double-L. All. Praying always with all prayer. So there are many kinds of prayer. There's not just one. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And then he says in Timothy, 1 where is it? I don't have it right in front of me, but he says in Timothy, I think it might be 2 Timothy 1, where he talks about praying for kings and leaders and rulers and those who are in authority, praying for them continually. So we have directions of what to cover when we pray. Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication. What is supplication? Asking. Asking. God, my neighbor has a need. I want to cooperate with you to help him. Show me what to do and send help through whatever means you want. Asking. Prayer and supplication. Matthew 6:6 says, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. We just talked about that in that word that was given, the hidden ones. We're not looking for any praise or glory from man. I just got to talk to my Father. And he's going to set everything straight. Amen? Amen. One that I want to share, Matthew 21:13. He said to them, Jesus, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. What is God's house today? Is it this building that we're in right now? What is God's house? It's us. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells in me. I commune with him here. If God's house is to be called a house of prayer, can you put that over yourself right here? House of prayer. That means it is the predominant thing going on there. So coming into that place of prayer is so important. And then another thing that we are instructed to do, and I see this as a part of our prayer and our prayer time, is to seek God, to seek him, to seek his face, to seek to know him. Isaiah 55, starting in verse 6, says, seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while he may be found, claiming him by necessity and by right. Call upon him while he is near. You know, the word says, draw near unto me, and I will draw near unto you. There are times where I just seek him. God, I want to see you. I want a new facet. I want a new revelation of your presence, of your glory, of your beauty, of your depth, of your love. God, none of this works without you. Nothing works without you. And just cry out to him for who he is, requiring his presence. It says in Psalms chapter 9, verse 10, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. 2 Chronicles 15 and 2, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. He will be found by you. God, I want to learn to hear, know, and follow your voice. Because my shepherd, my redeemer said, my sheep hear my voice, they know my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. But it's a process. It takes time. How long do you have to get to know a friend before you can answer the phone and know that's who it is? Because I know their voice. I can tell right away, mannerisms, what they say. If it's 6 o'clock in the evening and I hear, good morning, I know it's Miss Jerry. Because when we first speak in the day, it's morning. Learning those things about God, learning his voice, learning his inflections, his mannerism, knowing what he is saying is so important for our life just to make it through the day. And then beyond that, to be used, to be a blessing. Amen? So this is just an introduction, and we will be getting into intercession a little bit more. But let me just give you a little exhortation right here that God has shared with me in this time. our lives have been disrupted in a way that we have not seen before. Even for those of us here, 9/11, there was a disruption, there were changes, but this is, you know, we could gather in our front yards on the porch, we could gather in places of business in the town square and talk to our neighbors, and we've been asked not to do any of that. It's a strange time. But I believe God wants us to use this time to draw closer to Him, to develop those skills and abilities that He has given us, and to become adaptable to new ways to minister the gospel, to get the word out. I understand that some people are busier right now than they've ever been. Some people have more free time. But how do we accomplish what God wants? In staying at home, taking out the commute time, the getting up, getting all dressed, and all that kind of stuff time, there's extra time for us right now. And so my thought is, I need to redeem this time. What do I need to do? What should I be learning? What should I be doing? And should I study more? Should I get on social media more? Should I learn a new skill? Should I learn a new language? All of these possibilities started coming, but then there's still the normal things that have to be done. And then, in the middle of it all, our washing machine broke down. And we live in an apartment, and maintenance said, "Oh, I'm so sorry, put your request in, and just as soon as all of the corona restrictions are lifted, we'll be out there to fix it." It's not considered an emergency. So I'm on my knees in the bathtub washing clothes now, thinking, yeah, more time, okay. And so I begin to stress about what do I do? How do I redeem this time? How do I make it better? How do I get... You know, what's the most important thing? Is it resting? Is it spending time with my family? Is it doing something fun that I couldn't do? What do I do? What do I do? And I begin to stress about these things. And I went to God, finally, as is often the case. And He said, "You need to understand the structure of your life. It begins and ends with Me. With Me. Seek Me. Seek My face. Spend time in My presence. That is the most important thing. And then inspiration, creativity, ideas, better ways of doing things will begin to rise from your spirit. And that's what you follow. That's how you redeem the time. It doesn't start with your list. It doesn't start with my ideas. It starts with God." Now, I love to get up in the morning and spend time praising the Lord, maybe petitions, declaring, celebrating His goodness. But at night is when I seek Him. Now, that's just me. There's no rule. There's no rule to it. But I found that when I come before Him at night, when things are still and quiet, and I just listen, and then I pray in the Spirit. I pray in tongues for a long time, just listening to see what He would say, setting myself, submitting myself before Him. And then I sleep, and it's restful. And what usually happens is I wake up the next day knowing how I need to order my day. What needs to happen first? Or don't even start that, because something's going to come up and you're going to have stuff strewn everywhere and not be able to finish it. I like craft projects. I like to get about 14 books out and study. All of these different things that I like to do. But when I spend time with Him in prayer, when I seek Him, when I make sure I know His voice and I'm listening, and I spend time praying in the Spirit, we're going to get into that more. Praying in your spirit language. You are bringing directly information, inspiration, rest, strengthening, directions from the heart of God and speaking it into the earth. Remember, a man has to speak it into the earth. You are doing that. And then the Holy Spirit reveals to you what those things were that were covered when you were praying. So I challenge you from this day forth, pressing into prayer, seeking, praising, asking, decreeing, and praying in the Spirit. Let Him order your day. Learn to hear His voice. And then when all these restrictions are lifted, when they open that gate, we're going to come bursting forth with the answers that the world needs. Are you ready for that? Amen. Thank you. Pastor Richard.
Praise God. Good word. Very good word. And it's just the beginning. Just the beginning. I don't know how long the series will go, but we'll follow it till it ends. Until we learn what God wants us to know. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word that we've heard this morning. We thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for meeting with us here this morning and in the homes and the lives of all those who watch in our online. Father, I thank you for this season that you have determined for us to rise up and to be the church of the living God, to be your representatives, your ambassadors in the earth, to establish order, to establish your kingdom, Father God, and to establish your glory for your praise. Thank you, Father, that you are using us. You are you have already equipped us, and you are calling us into position so that we may do your will and fulfill your plan for this time, for this end time, Father, that we feel is now upon us. We thank you, Father. Thank you for your equipping, for your empowerment, and for your instruction, for your guidance, for your help, for your wisdom. We thank you, Father, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. You are always with us. And we reach out to you, Father God, to touch your heart, to touch your face, Father God, not seeking your hand, but seeking your face, to know you in all of your ways, that you may instruct us and guide us in our ways. Thank you, sir. We praise you, Lord. Father, and I thank you for everyone who's in this building and who's watching by live stream. Father, I just speak blessings on their lives. I thank you, Father, for their commitment to be here, to be attentive, to be faithful, to connect with the body. Father, I just speak financial blessings in their family. I speak health to their bodies, Father God, and peace and joy in their household and in their minds, Father God. Not being anxious, I cast out the fear and I release the joy and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, and all those others that are listed, Father God. I thank you that you are manifesting in them, in their lives, your will, plan, and purpose, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for them, Father. Bless them. Bless them as we bless you, sir. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I call you blessed. I say that you are the head and not the tail, and that you are above and not beneath, that everywhere you go, whether it's the living room or the bedroom or the kitchen, or even if you venture out somewhere, you are blessed, and God has your steps ordered. And you are successful in everything you do, and you bring peace to every situation and circumstance, and you cause the glory of the Lord to be known because you are His children. We will see you again on Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Be sure to tune in. Invite somebody to join with us, join with you. We look forward to our time again on Wednesday. And don't forget your grape juice and your crackers for next Sunday as we take communion together. You are blessed. Go with God.